So I am talking to Jason Blaine, Ontario, Ottawa Valley boy, who is calling from Nashville, Ontario, Nashville, Tennessee. There's no Nashville, Ontario quite yet, is there?
Hey, Hendrick, how you doing, man?
I'm doing very well. How you doing, Jason?
Doing great. It's a beautiful sunny day here in Tennessee. And, yeah, man, it's hard to believe. We've lived here for 13 years now. People ask me where I'm from, and I want to say Ontario. I want to say Pembroke, Ontario. And I am from there, and I'll always be from there, but it's crazy. You know, we've lived here for over a decade, and it also feels like home.
Oh, for sure. I mean, when you're there for that long, I mean, I've been where I'm at now for, I guess almost 10 years since we left Ottawa. So, you know, a northern boy that never ever thought he'd leave the north and lived in the valley for a number of years, and then, you know, moving down here, home is where the heart is, right? So, you know, you always have your home where you grew up, and then wherever you kind of hang your hat is your new home. And I know you, for one, does not forget where you came from. I mean, you show that as often as you possibly can. So let's just kind of jump right to that, because we got a lot to talk about. But you do have your seventh annual, if I remember correctly, golf tournament's coming up in a couple of months. You guys just topped the $500,000 mark in what you guys have been able to raise to date. So tell me about that. I mean, like, 7 years ago, this whole thing started. You know, you would have just left to go to Nashville, and you say, hey, you know, I want to come back and do something for my hometown. And now 7 years later, you've got this event that has raised over $500,000 for that community.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. You know, I can't believe it's been, you know, that we'll be coming into year number seven here. It's crazy. Because I don't remember when it was. Definitely more than 7 years ago. Gosh, it could have been 10 years ago by now. Gord Bansford had invited me out to Lacombe, Alberta, before they moved. I think even before they moved his event to Red Deer, it was in his hometown, and he had invited me out. And it was the first time I had ever been to sort of a celebrity charity golf event. I had never been invited to anything like that before then. And you know, there was NHL hockey players that year. I was paired with Curtis Glencross, and we had a blast just riding around in the car together and hitting balls and drinking some cold ones and having a great time. And I just thought, man, I would love to bring an event like this to my hometown. And Gord was really cool and super supportive and encouraging, gave me some great advice early on, and was said that he would, you know, be there as my, you know, special guest on year one to help us kick it off and get it going. And he was. And, you know, his advice was to put together a great committee, and I did that. And so that allows me to sort of have my career and live here in Nashville and have, they're really the hands and feet on the ground in Pembroke that really put it all together. And, you know, and I'm able to, you know, bring a few great friends over the years, you know, from, like I said, Gord and Kira Isabella and Chad Brownlee, Tim Hicks, Dallas Smith, Jason McCoy, JoJo Mason, Aaron Pichette's been twice, Dan Davidson, Patrick Rivertown Saints, those guys have been there at least for 4 years, maybe even five. I love those guys. Just everybody who's supported has just been incredible. Even NHL guys like the late, great Brian Murray at the Ottawa Senators, and then legend Doug Gilmore coming out too 1 year, and that was huge, huge fanfare for Doug, especially in Sens country. But it's been awesome, man. I appreciate you asking about it.
Now, when you look at it now, I mean, if you kind of roll back the clock to when you first started this thing, would you have ever guessed that you'd hit? Because I mean, I know Pembroke. I mean, I lived in Petawawa for a number of years, so I know the challenges that come with putting on events there that charge any kind of admission to begin with. Would you have ever guessed that, you know, you'd hit this half a million, 500,000 is one thing, but to say it as $500,000 is, it really puts it into perspective. That's a lot of money in a fairly short amount of time. How does that really resonate with you? Is it hard to believe?
Right.
Is it?
Right. Well, because, well, no, I would have never thought that that we've raised that much. I have no idea how much we would do. You know, I thought maybe we'd do 25,000 or something like that in our first year. We did 50, and then we did 75, and then broke 100 or something only a year or two later. And it's just, but it's really a testament to the community, to our sponsors. Most of our sponsors have been with us since day one and have stuck with us and have been enjoying the event. And the teams and the sponsorship packages, they fill up pretty much right away the very next day after we finish every year in June, and people come back for a great time. And it's not only raising money, but there's significant expenses. And we put on a full production show, you know, every year at the Pembroke Memorial Center with full production, concert level production, and fly people in from across the country and do a great food thing and everything from some wonderful caterers and decorations. So there are some costs too. But we keep them at, you know, as low as we possibly can, because it's all about putting on a great event, world class, you know, the best event we can deliver. Or a great time combining sports and golf and music with a great time and giving back to the community. And that's what we managed to do. And it's just been so cool, man, to see it all evolve. And I think we're gonna have another great time this June.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I had the luxury of going. I've only been once, surprisingly, considering I'm not that far away. It's just been difficult to get out there. But how many is it? 4 or 5 years that Tim and Chad were there. Is it? I'm trying to think what year that was. It's got to be.
They were there in year two.
So we're 6 years ago this year. It's crazy how quickly time flies.
And
I mean, it was. I mean, I've covered a lot of events, and I've been invited to cover a lot of events, and so it was interesting. So, you know, I show up at the event. It was an important event, I guess, if you look at it from the life cycle of Soundcheck Entertainment and kind of where we were and where we are now, because we've been at 10 years, I think, this year, and, you know, so that event...
Congratulations, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride, and it keeps evolving, and it's still a bit of a pinch-me moment, how it went from basically just me to, what are we now, we are 40-some strong into the United States, and coast to coast in Canada. So it's cool, you know, and it's a lot of work, but it's very rewarding. And you get those cool moments, those moments that really make you think, okay, now this is turning into something that's kind of bigger than me. And your event, the first one I went to, or the only one I went to, was one of those moments. Because so we're invited to come out to this event, check into the hotel, which was amazing. And, of course, knowing the Memorial Center or the Best Western in Pembroke very well. And so then, okay, you know, you're invited to come down for dinner at such and such a time. So I'm like, okay, so media is going to come down and they'll have their dinner, and then the celebrities will be in another room or whatever. And, you know, generally they keep the celebrities away. So I'm sitting at the table with some folks from Star 96 or now Pure Country 96 Pure Country 96. And, we're chatting, and then all of a sudden Tim Hicks walks in and sits across the table from me, and then Chad Brownlee comes in and sits on the other side of me. So it's kind of this moment where it's like I'm now sitting at a table with Tim and Chad, and I talked to a lot of these guys doing interviews like we are right now, but it was one of those moments where it really reaffirmed a lot of what I've always believed, in the sense that we're all people and we're really all the same, and this is... what you guys do for a living. I do something different for a living, but then in the end, we all have to eat and we all have conversations and stories to tell. And it was a really cool moment to kind of get everybody at that table and hear stories that you just generally may not hear in a standard interview where you're just chatting like a bunch of guys over dinner, having a couple drinks. And I thought that was really cool to kind of be in that position. There's only, even in the last 10 years, been a couple times that I've been in a similar position. And that was one of the first, and I thought that was like really super cool. I think it might've been one of the first times I met Tim Hicks, in person. Like I said, I had interviewed him a couple times before that, but I don't know if we'd ever met face to face before that day. So it was kind of a cool thing to do that.
Tim's great, and Chad, and those are my buddies, and they, you know, they're about as real as it gets, you know, and that, the whole thing with our events is, you know, we try to keep it, we encourage all the artists and whoever comes out, even when, you know, when it doesn't matter who it is, they come out, and Doug Gilmore's there, and they just mingle with the fans and the sponsors, everybody that's there, and just people take pictures and have a little conversation and just make everybody feel really welcome, and like a big, you know, one big family and one big community, and that's what it's all about, and I think that people feel that. I think that's why everybody comes back.
It's very Valley-like, right? I mean, because that's what I miss about the Valley. That's one thing I really loved about the Valley was that it is a very large community. It's not just people. Everybody's kind of this community, and everybody is going to kind of rally. And I think that's one thing that really makes that event so special is the fact that it's done not to raise money for you. It's done to raise money for the community and put money back into it. And, I mean, you've done exactly that. So that's really cool. We look forward to hearing the details about the one that's coming up in a couple months. And, of course, and you know, anything that we can do to kind of help promote it. I mean, we do the posts and stuff, and if I could find somebody either to swing it myself or get somebody up there, then we'll definitely come up and cover it as well. Now,
thank you guys. Thank you for all your support.
Oh, anytime. I mean, we're more than happy to do it, especially when it's something that's going to give back to a community that's still, you know, I only spent a short amount of time there, but you know, it is a community that I really enjoyed my time there, and leaving was very difficult, but I didn't have anything holding me there, and working in Ottawa, it was very difficult driving back and forth every day, so.
Oh, yeah, I understand, for sure, and I love to get up there, too, it's, you know, certainly for the golf event, but I always love to get up there. That's where all of my family's up there, right?
Right.
Like, my mom and dad live up there, my mother-in-law, and my brothers, and so many, like, you know, best friends live up there, so I'd love to get back and see everybody. And actually, on my new EP that's coming out, there's a song called Home for the Summer that I didn't write, but I felt like I could have, or something, or I should have, you know. It was just, lyrically, it was like, it just hit me emotionally, and just hit me like a ton of bricks. I just thought, man, this is my life. This is my story. Every June, we go back and see everybody the way I feel. So I recorded the song, and I'll be playing it in June when we hit the stage.
Nice. So now, how's your golf game? Have you've been doing this tournament your tournament and charity event for 7 years or six and change now? Is your game getting any better?
So still terrible. It's almost, I mean, I probably don't, it's probably one of the only times a year I golf, honestly. I mean, I ironically, I don't love to golf. I'm not one of these guys that like has to get out on the golf course all the time. I do it from, if it means like, you know, I can fellowship with friends and, you know, or hang with my dad and give, you know, something to do, you know, and
it's a fun, you know, social activity, right?
I try to get a little bit better, but it's really just about friendships for me. It's just about fun and being together. I'm not a competitive when it comes to golfing.
Yeah, I've never, well, I mean, I've picked up clubs. Actually, the last time I did, I was pretty good, but that's been got to be 15 years as well. I'm sure I can count on one hand the number of times that I've actually, aside from the driving range, that I've actually been out on a golf course. So, golf tournament and everything aside, of course, the big news is you've got new music out this year. So your single is Drink Too Much. Great tune, by the way. I mean, when I first had a chance to listen to it just before it came out, I was like, yeah, this is good. This is it's kind of a good way to kind of kick things off, and it's a nice... nice return, I guess, for Jason Blaine. It's been a bit. What's been 2 years now since you've had a new single out, or has it just been one?
It feels like it. It feels like two. It's kind of been one, but it kind of feels like two. It feels like forever. And you know, this is just a fun song. You know, you don't have to overthink it. It's just some songs are meant to be moving and deep. Like, you know, like like they don't make them like that anymore, or Dance with My Daughter, or Born to Love, even. But you know, this is what I love about country music. You know, I'm always a fan of artists like Brooks and Dunn and Garth Brooks, and you know, all these, some of my heroes like that. You know, they cover the whole spectrum of life. You know, it's not just one lane, not just one thing. And sometimes my wife and I with being parents of four beautiful kids and all of the craziness of life, sometimes we just like to call a sitter and hit the town on Lower Broadway or something and go drink too much, man, and go have some fun.
Yep.
And I know a bunch of people like that, so I thought this song is super fun for that kind of a moment.
Yeah, no, it's a great tune. Now, so to come along with that, we also had an announcement shortly after that single came out that you're coming back to Boots and Hearts this summer, which is, I guess it keeps your every 2 years, except for from the 2003, there was, I think, 3 years in between 2003, and then it was 2006, 2008, or something like that. I can't remember exactly how the timing worked, but
it was... Not that far, 2013, because Boots and Hearts only think...
Oh, that's right, yeah, 13, yeah.
Yeah, 2013 is probably what you're thinking, it was 2000. It was three year gap there between 2013 and 2016, but they were growing, and there was a lot of, I mean, everybody wanted to play on that stage on that show. It's a great festival, and actually the nominations just came out today from the ACMs here in Nashville. Actually, they'll be in Vegas, and Boots and Hearts is the only Canadian festival, I believe.
Yeah, I saw that. And not just Boots and Hearts. Yeah, we've got some great Canadian representation down there on the ACM's nominations this year, because we've got Lindsay L. and Tennille Townsend on there this year, which is absolutely incredible for both those two ladies as well as Canadian music.
Isn't that awesome? That's so great. I love those girls.
They're absolutely.
So talented. They do Canada proud. They do themselves and their family proud. They're just awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
I think what I love the most about it is the fact that they're women, you know, especially with all the conversations that are going on right now, and two incredibly talented, incredibly strong women out of Canada are down there, and they're sitting there with nominations at the ACMs, which is absolutely amazing.
I know a few people who work harder than Lindsay and Tennille. They just work so hard and deserve like everything. They're just, I just can't say enough about them.
Absolutely. Now, Canadian music is having a really, really strong year south of the border right now. I mean, there's so much that you're hearing the buzz about online, whether it's in award nominations or just radio play, tours. And it's just like every time you see a new tour pop up, oh, look, there's another Canadian artist in that lineup. Oh, look, there's a Canadian artist in that lineup. Major festivals in the States, Canadian artists in that lineup. Even in Europe, I mean, Europe was kind of always on the Canadian bandwagon, but it seems like all of a sudden, and of course, you're in Nashville, so you probably see it firsthand, but is there kind of a warm-up happening right now to Canadian music? It just seems like all of a sudden there's a lot more going on.
I just think... we're in an amazing time. I don't think there's ever been a time where there's been as much. There's always been great Canadian music, but I don't think there's ever been a time where there's been so much great Canadian country music. I mean, the amount of artists from guys and girls and groups and duos, it's just there's just more content of Canada than ever before, and it's all good. It's all super high quality. Everybody's doing their thing. And I think also, Hendrick, what has happened, what's the big, big game changer has been with the streaming services in the past 5 years have really eliminated borders. I mean, you know, if Canadian songs end up on a playlist that's a Wild Country or New Boots or something that's on Spotify or something on Apple, playlist like Drink Too Much was on Breaking Country. Here, you know, out in the U.S. too, and that just kind of breaks down that barrier that exists forever, that, you know, that country radio is not the only place to hear Canadian music, and that, I think that was the biggest stumbling block. You know, if you weren't on American radio, then Americans weren't hearing you, and now that's just not the case.
That makes a very good point, because I know for many, many years, I don't have it right now, but I had the SiriusXM subscription, and listening to The Highway, the only reason I ever canceled my subscription is because I wanted to hear more Canadian music. I wanted to hear more of the local Canadian artists, and we weren't getting them on The Highway. I think it's changing a little bit more, but I just wanted to get, you know, the kind of the locals, like the Megan Patricks, the Lindsay Els, the Tennille Towns, and of course, I mean, now they're all common play, even the Jason Blaines, which you may not hear on The Highway. You know, and I really, that was one thing that I really found, and I totally agree with you on the Spotify and the Amazon and the Apple and the YouTube Music, and I mean, with a Tidal and all the other streaming networks that are out there, they're a dime a dozen, which is great for the artist, because it's very easy to get the music out there. I do some work with some independent artists here, and, you know, for what, $40, you can get a single out there, and it's released to every single streaming platform, whereas back in the day, before this, how much would it cost to get a single out to all the radio stations in Canada, and in stores, and try to get it into the radio stations across the border? It was darn near impossible and unaffordable. So, I mean, I think it's an amazing time for any artist to be recording music and putting music out, because it's easier than ever to get your music heard.
Sure, and radio is still super important. You know,
of course.
Don't get me wrong, it's super important, but now there's also, I mean, you mentioned satellite radio on Sirius, and there's a great CBC Country on SiriusXM that I get in my truck here in Nashville, and that's been fantastic for Canadian artists, you know, because it's exclusively Canadian, and it's been really great that people can tune in from all over North America and hear our music. And people will always listen to their local country station. You know, it's like, it's super, it's great. You know, I'm obviously with my golf event, you know, in pure country, is they're massive, massive supporter. People tune in for the local advertising and the sports, weather, traffic, all of that stuff, and they're super important to have community radio, and especially country music stations. But at least now, it's not the only way to reach the fans. It's all about reaching the fans with your music and having multiple ways for them to get a hold of it. And hopefully, they'll come out to a show, and you're standing on stage, they're singing along to that new single or even, you know, something that wasn't a single. That's the cool thing lately is that they're singing along to stuff that used to be called an album cut, but now that it's just another song on Spotify or Apple.
Something that was never formally released as a single. That's absolutely true. So let's talk about what's next. I read somewhere, I think in an interview you did, maybe a Top Country. You've got an EP coming up at some point this year. And there was some talk about maybe recording some classic country stuff. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, it's something I always wanted to do, and I'm hoping I might get around to it this year. You know, I think for the next few months for sure, a good part of this year will be promoting this new EP and talking about this new music. But man, there's a fair bunch of stuff I'd like to do. I'd like to record some Christmas music. I'd like to record some traditional kind of country music that I always thought that I would do, you know, you know, our format just evolved so much, and we want to kind of remain competitive and all that stuff, so I wouldn't record it with any aspirations of it making it onto the radio, but I kind of just do it to scratch my own niche, I guess.
So now let's take the classic country. Would you do originals that are kind of in that sound, that format, or are you planning on doing some covers?
It might be a combination of both, you know? I haven't really, haven't thought it through that much. I do have a bunch of stuff that I'd like to record, and I just think that, I mean, it would fall under that umbrella. I've written those songs, and then they don't fit onto a contemporary EP, so I don't know if I'd call it a roots record or a classic country record or just something, just a side project. I don't know, but it's like, you know, I love so many different things, so many different styles of music, you know, and especially I love traditional country music. I just can't wait till anytime George Strait or Vince Gill puts out a record, I'm the first one in line, man, to buy it or to check it out on on streaming, you know, and I still love to hold a copy in my hand, honestly, but I mean, that's the stuff that I love listening to that stuff, so I'd love to record a little bit of it.
That's cool. I was can't wait to see what you come up with on that. So, of course, we're looking forward to Boots and Hearts. It's always an amazing event every year. Can't wait to see you on stage there again. I missed you the last time because I was my parents celebrated their it was my dad celebrated his 80th birthday that weekend, and I had to pick between the two, and I think I chose right by going to his birthday party instead. So
yeah, gotta do that, man.
Family has to come first in this business, you know. It's there's enough time for everything else. And you know, yeah, your parents will only turn 80 once, so I figured it was more important to be there. But is there any surprises your fans can kind of wait and see about finding out for the golf tournament? Since that's a little bit more in control than some of the other events. But you know, with this golf tournament, it's kind of been your baby, and you know, with year 7 on the horizon, you got any tricks up your sleeve?
Well, I would love to tell you about some of the artists that we've got lined up, but I've got an exclusive deal with Pure Country, actually in my hometown, that I've got to do the exclusive with them. But I can tell you that we've got another fantastic lineup this year, and I can't wait to make that announcement. Probably, I guess we'll probably announce in April. I'm not sure, but it'll be another banger of a great year, man, of great entertainment, and can't wait to share with everybody.
No, we have no doubt it always is. And I'm assuming, I don't think tickets are on sale yet, right? They generally go on sale right around the time that the artist announcement happens?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, perfect. Definitely. But that'll be right here around the corner, you know. Gosh, the time flies by.
Yeah, well, we're knocking on March's door now, right? So
definitely.
I was joking with someone the other day. I said, "Are you done your Christmas shopping yet?" Because the way this year is going, you blinked and February was gone. So
yeah, that's crazy.
Well,
definitely, and I'll have a new EP. Then the EP will be out in May, and so we'll have some new music to play at Boots and Hearts and some other shows this summer, and certainly in Pembroke.
Now, so Boots and, is that the only confirmed festival you have so far this summer? Is Boots and Hearts, or do you have other events lined up?
I'll actually be at Manitoulin Country Fest as well.
Oh, it's the same weekend as Boots, so you'll be busy that weekend.
Yeah, it'll be a busy one for sure. But man, thanks so much for the interview today, man. Thanks for taking the time to do this, and
thank you for taking the time.
I appreciate your passion.
No, it's much appreciated, and you know, we're always happy to talk about new stuff going on and help spread the word. And we definitely look forward to catching you on the road again this summer. We caught you last summer in Brockville, so we'll be watching for you on a bigger stage come August. And if all goes well, we'll see you up in Pembroke.
All right, man. All the best to you.
All right, well, thanks, Jason. Kendrick. Take care.